Father, we're asking, Lord, for you to come and open your word to us, Lord. Teach us from it, dear God, to it would be uplifting and a help to the people, bring guidance and direction. We ask, Lord, for you to have the preeminence in this service. We would never fail to give you all the glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4. And I guess this would be the third part on by the will of God. Verse 3 of chapter 4 of Genesis. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. The Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And if you turn me now to Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to read verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, him being dead yet speaketh. You may be seated. And I know we just covered some things concerning Cain when we were teaching about the grace of God and how that God even extended grace to Cain. But I want to approach tonight from a little different angle, looking under the will of God. And you know, when we look at Cain, where did that meanness come from? Where did that evil come from? Couldn't have been Adam's son. If he was Adam's son, Adam was the son of God. But his nature was nothing like Adam's nature. His nature was nothing like God's nature. But then we look at Lucifer and see that Lucifer was jealous of his brother, Michael. And that's where all the trouble started. And then we find Cain, the same nature, jealous of his brother. Jealous of God's attention to the brother. And we know that nature couldn't come from the pure seed of Adam. It had to come from that perverted stream. Brother Branham says, Abel was a type of Christ. And when Abel was killed, Seth took his place. And that's death, burial, and resurrection in Christ in a type. But Cain, Brother Branham said, was a believer. He believed in worshiping. He believed in God. He believed enough to bring a sacrifice, to build an altar, to come before God, and he was religious, but the thing he lacked was spiritual revelation. He didn't have a revelation from God. What he had was, Brother Branham says in one place, he says that it was Adam and Eve that had told the boys that it was fruit that brought them out of the garden. But Abel got a revelation that had nothing to do with fruit. See, that's where that That's where that come from. Even today, when people think it's fruit that caused the fall in the garden, it wasn't fruit that caused the fall. It was what Eve done. And then Adam knew her that way, and that's what brought about the fall. But they ate of the tree of knowledge to get to that point. But Cain didn't have this revelation. Cain was going on what was told him. So Cain prepared an altar, and Cain had labored hard. He had put in much labor to bring forth this fruit. And he put in labor to build an altar. And he had good intentions. But if good intentions and having an altar, being on a church membership would do it, then Cain would be just as Abel was. But good intentions isn't going to do it. You've got to have the revelation of the Word of God. You won't make it without it. Now, I know there will be people saved. I don't want to really get into that tonight, but I know there will be people saved that's outside of the bride. But to be in the bride, you've got to have a revelation of this end time word. But he worshiped, he'd done everything as religious as Abel did, but God flatly refused him because it wasn't by revelation. It didn't matter how beautiful it was, didn't matter how much work he put into it, didn't matter that he was sincere, but what he offered, and Brother Branham said that, well, you realize man had been ushered out of the garden, and the Bible says that God put a cherubim to keep the way to the tree of life so that man couldn't come and partake of the tree of life and live. And man then wanted a way back to that. And that's what Abel and Cain were both wanting, a way back to the garden, back to the way it was. And Brother Branham said they wanted to appease God's wrath that had been passed down to them. And they wanted to find a way to gain favor with God. But Cain did it fundamentally, but without the revelation of God. And in Jude, it talks about the way of Cain, the error of Balaam, and the gainsaying of Korah. And the way of Cain, and Brother Ram said, it's the doctrine of Cain. He has the fundamentals of the word, but he lacks the revelation. And he forms doctrines based on his knowledge, reasoning of the word. And that's the way the denominations are today. But if good works would save you, Cain would have been saved. But it takes more than good works. You realize that people who live under legalism, they can really produce good works. But you realize that in what they're doing, in their do's and don'ts, and their works, they're trying to make their own righteousness. By doing the works, it makes them feel better. But what makes me feel good is knowing the grace of God. Amen. Amen. That's what makes me feel good. Knowing that It's not by my works. Because at the best, my works are going to fail. When I used to live that way, there'd be times when I'd be up here. Then there'd be times when I'd be way down here. And, you know, it was always up and down. And sometimes you felt like a Christian, and other times you didn't feel Christian at all. It's like you'd go through times where all of a sudden you just felt lost. But it was because you were living, trying to depend on how good you were. Trying to depend on how good you'd done, or how long a period of time you'd went seemingly without making a mistake or something. And if you'd go a long period of time without doing something wrong, well, you'd get to feeling pretty good about yourself. That's your own righteousness. That's not God's righteousness. God's righteousness, he accepted Christ. And you and your life hid in Christ in God, then that's what makes you righteous.
Amen. That's right. Thank you, Lord.
But Cain built an altar. Brother Branham says here in the message of earnestly contending for the faith, listen how he says this. He says, Cain wasn't an infidel. Cain was a believer. And he said, Cain was religious and a believer. He come up and built an altar to the Lord, just as much faith as what Abel did. But there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Now you understand that after a while. But he came and built an altar with sincerity in his heart. And he went out and got the best fruits, laid them on the altar, and probably decorated the altar all up beautiful with flowers. But beauty is one of the most deceitful things there is. Cain was a church member. He went to church. He didn't stay home. Cain went to church. Cain was faithful. But that's not good enough. He wasn't a hypocrite. He actually came, brought his sacrifice, and he made a confession before God. But Brother Bram says, Abel had a spiritual revelation of the will of God. And he had a revelation, Brother Bram says, that it wasn't fruit that brought him out of the garden. He had a revelation of what it was. He had a revelation that it was going to take blood in order to take man back to the beginning again. It was going to take a sacrifice of blood. And when he brought his sacrifice, he was speaking as when he slew an innocent lamb. He was speaking of the coming of Christ, who would be the innocent lamb of God that would be slain and blood shed in order to provide man a way back to eternal life. Before, under the blood of bulls and goats, we know that when a person died, that if they died under the blood of bulls and goats, they went to a place called paradise. And they were captive there. And they remained captive there until Jesus Christ died and went to hell. And then he set them free from there, because what they were waiting on was that perfect sacrifice that could utterly remove sin. That perfect sacrifice that could make them righteous. And when that sacrifice came, then it set them free from that place. That's where that place and the knowledge of that place is where Calvinists get purgatory from. A place where people go and you can get them back out of there. But that doesn't exist. Now there is a perfect sacrifice that's been offered. And you, by accepting that, then you gain eternal life. And when you pass from this dimension to the next dimension, you go into a dimension with other believers where again, they're waiting on the coming of Christ so that they can be united with us. And if someone dies that's a sinner and without God, then they go to a region of the lost. Brother Branham, if you've ever read or heard Brother Branham described that region of the lost, that when he went there and how he describes it, and he said there was no mama there, there was no daddy there, there was no nothing there, there was no God there, there was nothing. A horrible place. And remember when he saw those two women, I believe it was in J.C. Penney's, coming down from an elevator, getting off. Why, he saw them painted up, and for a minute he thought he was back in that place, because that was what he saw when he was there, was that painted up stuff. Now, Jesus said, remember when he asked him, said, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say you're one of the prophets and you're this and so forth. He said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter spoke up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon that rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But it showed that it was revelation was what he built his church on. But it also showed that all of hell would be against revelation. All of hell would be against anyone receiving revelation. But it would not be able to prevail. It'd not be able to prevail against it. Satan can't keep you from getting the revealed word of God. Amen. He can't stop it. Amen. And believe me, he tries every way in the world, because we're humans. He tries every way in the world to try to stop it. He tries to stop the word from being able to come forth here. He tries to stop me. I imagine if you got a testimony, Brother Phil, there's things that the devil does to try to stop him from preaching. He tries to stop every man from preaching. Why? Because the Bible says that that's where that faith comes from, is hearing the word of God. And Brother Ram said faith is a revelation of the will of God. I've had many people through my time of ministry come to me and they're asking, seeking the will of God concerning something. The best thing I can tell you how to get to find the will of God is, first, you got to be willing to surrender your will, because that's what Jesus did. Jesus was willing to surrender his will, that not his will, but the Father's will would be done. So you got to be able, willing to surrender your will to be able to find the will of God. But there are things in the scriptures that are plain. Brother Branham says, let me back up here a moment. Brother Branham says, Abel's message was vindicated. And the way it was vindicated was because God received it. God accepted his sacrifice. Amen. God had respect unto his sacrifice. And so it was vindicated before Cain that was God's will. And when God come and spoke to him, and Cain was upset because God hadn't accepted his sacrifice. And God said, look, you've seen my will. You've seen this is vindicated. This is what I want. Do that and you'll be accepted also. But Cain refused to do it. Cain's way, as the Bible calls it, Cain's way was, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll remove the opposition. God will have to accept me. He'll have to accept my sacrifice because there won't be no Abel. Won't be nobody else. I'll be the one worshiping God. So he'll have to accept me then. Take me my way. And that's the way a lot of people get. There are people who are out of the will of God, and when they see God blessing someone, they get really bent out of shape toward that individual. Like it's their fault God's blessing them. Like Saul. You know, Saul was all tormented. God allowed him to be tormented because he hadn't kept all the will of God. And he got upset because of the blessings of God on David. So he couldn't really lash out at God, so he lashed out at David. That's the way a lot of people do. They'll lash out at you. Because if you're keeping the will of God and they're walking outside it, then he'll say, "Don't you judge me." They're walking outside the will of God. Cain saw the perfect will of God, but he refused to do it. Now, as I started to say a moment ago, there are things in the Word that are outlined very clearly for you to know what the will of God is concerning those things. I'll just give you a few examples so you know where I'm coming from. You want to know whether you can cut your hair or not? The will of God is plainly set there in the Scriptures. You can find what the will of God is concerning your hair. Men, you can find what the will of God is concerning your hair. You want to know what the will of God is concerning marriage? It's in the Scripture. And when you come and you realize the will of God, when God speaks that out and vindicates that to be so, and then you ignore it, knowing what the perfect will of God is, friends, you are going out in the way of Cain. Uh-oh, here we go. You've got the wrong nature. You need to die out to that and be born again. And put God first in your life. That's where we have problems when it comes to the will of God, is when we start putting other things first in our life before God. Because of our desires. Because of our wants. God received Abel, but he condemned Cain. Cain was condemned because of what he did. Because he saw the will of God, and his refusal to do it, jealous of his brother, he went out and slew his brother. That was the way of Lucifer. Well, I know what I'll do. I don't like the favor God showing Michael. I'll just bring a war and I'll wipe them out. And you know, the devil must have been a real good preacher. Because he convinced a large section of the angels to follow him. Angels created by God. And he convinced a large portion of them to follow him and to come against Michael. Watch now, it didn't matter how many that Lucifer had follow after him. They couldn't overcome the might of Michael. Michael cast him out of heaven. Well, I don't want to be associated with that group. Brother Branham says in one place, he says, let me just find it here. I've got it in my notes. He says, talking about Cain, he knew the perfect will of God, but he refused to do it. Did you know that? Satan knows the will of God, but just refuses to do it. So Satan knows what the will of God is concerning all these different things that men look at. He knows what the will of God is, but he refused to do it. And he tries to convince people, and his fellow demons try to convince people to do things that are against the will of God. You know what the will of God is? His word. You want to find the will of God? His word. What does his word say on it? Once you know that you've heard the will of God, I want you to realize something. No matter what you do, you're accountable for it. You got no excuse. You can try to play it off. You can try to explain it away. You can try to reason within yourself. Satan will help you. He'll help you with reasoning. If you're looking for a way to reason your way around the will of God, Satan will be right there to help you try to reason your way around it. But there is no going around the will of God. Think about that. I mean, even in just the words of it, it should tell you the will of God is the perfect way. There is no way around it. It's God's way or there is no way. There is two ways, two spirits. Brother Branham said those two spirits showed up in Eden. It showed up in Cain and Abel. And they were two spirits. And Brother Branham said they were two religious spirits. Abel had a religious spirit. And Cain had a religious spirit. They both wanted to worship. But one religious spirit rose up against the other one. Brother Branham speaks in one place and he says, God will take his man, but he doesn't take the spirit. And he said, look at Elijah. God took Elijah, but the spirit came back on Elisha. Then the spirit came back on John the Baptist. And he says, and that spirit's promised to come in this day, which we know that it came in Brother Branham. And we know there's a promise of that spirit yet one more time to come to Israel. And God took Jesus, but he sent back his spirit upon us. And he said, Satan takes his man, but he leaves his spirit. And he said, that spirit that was on Cain, you can follow it right down. He says, and it comes right on down into the Pharisees. And everybody wants to say Judas. But Brother Ram says, it comes down to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law of the day when Jesus walked on the face of the earth. So that religious spirit, that spirit that was on Cain, here it comes, it's still a religious spirit. That's why some people, once they walk away, and you can't reach them because they take on a religious spirit. It's a religious spirit and they believe they're all right. He says, Abel's correct message God vindicated be truth. Abel's message would receive. Cain saw it and know that God had vindicated that message, but he couldn't do it. His pride kept him from it. His pride kept him from doing it. He's seen God vindicate the message. So it seems to be now so hard for people to humble themselves to the Word of God. I'll tell you, when it comes to marriage, you can't use the excuse, well, we don't have very many young people. We don't have nobody here in church. You can't use that. Because we ain't the only church that there is. There's other churches, bigger churches. And the thing about it is, you don't really have to go around hunting and seeking. You can pray. And it's okay to go visit other churches. I have never told anybody here that you can't go visit other churches. But you need to get somebody that believes this end time message. That's the will of God. And you're not going to educate somebody into believing it. You're not going to trick them into believing it. You're not going to be able to force them into believing it. If they were ordained of God to see it, you couldn't stop them from seeing it. But if they're not ordained of God to see it, there ain't no way you can force it. You can't make it happen. I don't care what you do or how good you are, you can't make it happen. Remember, said Cain's seen the perfect will of God. Listen, power of transformation. He's seen the perfect will of God, but he didn't want it. Well, I wouldn't want to be in them shoes. See the perfect will of God and say, well, I don't want it. I want my way. That's why the Bible, see, the Bible's so explicit in there, and in Jude, it says, gone after the way of Cain. And Brother Bram says what it is see the will of God. He said, you ladies, he said, when you've had people question you, why you wear long dresses? Why you wear long hair? And he said, and some of them just look at you like, well, okay, whatever. You know, some religious nut. He said, but if there's any kind of a woman in them, a lady in them, they'd know what was right. They would know it wasn't right to get out here and strip themselves off. But they want their way. God, accept me how I am. They want, what they're wanting is God to embrace worldliness. I read in the news about these different people that they get awards or whatever and they're thanking God. God had nothing to do with that. Somebody making a touchdown and saying, thanking God for it. God didn't help them make that touchdown. That's just something they're doing. Satan ain't involved in them things either. That's just things of man. Of course, Satan uses it to put all of his advertisements out there. Faith is something that's revealed to you. Brother Bram says it's anointed once at the end of time. Faith is something that's revealed to you. Faith is a revelation of the will of God. So by revelation, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain, which God testified he was righteous. And Brother Bram says, and there's churches today that don't even believe in spiritual revelation. They believe in a dogmatic teaching of some system. See where we're living at? Now we're talking about the way of Cain. We've already preached about the doctrine of Balaam and what that was. We're all one people. We're all the same. It's okay to mix and mingle. That was the doctrine of, that's how that Balaam got Israel to get into trouble, because he got them to start intermarrying amongst these other people. And that's how they got in trouble. That's where they got away from God. You know, through the scriptures, you can watch Israel. And in Israel, there will be times to where you'll find there's a king that raises up and he tears down all the idols, he tears down all the false gods, tears down all the shrines and the altars and statues and so forth, and turns Israel back to Jehovah. Then there'll be somebody else that'll raise up after him and start bringing all that stuff back in. And then you'll find there'll be somebody after him, they'll say, he done all the evil that his father did. He kept the ways of his father. And then you'll find somebody else wakes up and says, he didn't keep the ways of his father. He tore down the altars and he tore down the shrines and all these things. And Israel was, and when you look at it, you see Israel, here they are in the favor of Jehovah. Then you find them outside the favor of Jehovah, and eventually Israel is overthrown. And they're taken captive. And God allows them to be overthrown and taken captive. Why? Because they walked away from the will, the vindicated will of God. And every time Israel walked away from the vindicated will of God, they got into trouble. And we could look at it and we see Israel's ups and downs and wonder, why couldn't Israel just stay with Jehovah? He was proven to be God so many times down through the centuries. But there was always somebody that didn't believe. One time, Brother Branham says the way that idolatry got into Israel was because the king decided to marry somebody outside of Israel. He decided to marry somebody who wasn't a believer of Jehovah. It's Ahab. He married Jezebel, and it brought idolatry into Israel. And we look at it and see Israel's ups and downs and wonder, why couldn't they just stay with Jehovah? What about us? What about us? What about people that come to know this message but refuse to walk in it? And I'll tell you this, you can't play around with the devil and think you'll get by with it. The devil will make you pay for it. The devil don't mean you no good. All he means is harm. In the beginning, he tried to tear up the first family. He'll try to tear up families today. He'll try to tear man and wife apart. He'll try to break up homes. He ain't changed. And you think you can invite the devil in a little bit, invite in a little bit, and you just hold him right there. Well, the thing about it is they aren't looking at it like they're inviting the devil in. But the thing about it is when you take on things that are outside the will of God, that's what you're doing. And the devil isn't going to stop there. If you give him an inch, he'll take a mile. People play around with these things. They're going to end up with their lives getting messed up. They're going to end up with scars on their lives. So can they come through it? Yeah, they can come through it, but they won't come through it unscathed. It's a sad thing. But I can stand here tonight and tell you I know it to be true. I went outside of the will of God. I ran from God. I went to the world. The things of the world. And I'll tell you what, friends. I didn't come out of it unscathed. But I can tell you, I look at it and I know when I see someone else going that way, I know what trouble they're headed for. And if they would listen, if they'd listen, it would prevent them from going into that trouble. But, you know, sometimes you kids get to growing up, and as they get older, they don't want to ask your opinion of anything anymore. They kind of already know everything. They know what they're going to do. They don't think about maybe mom and dad have been down that road. Mom and dad knows what that lays down that way. Now, I ain't talking about just little bitty kids. I'm talking about adults. Some of them even already married. But you know what? I was thinking about something today. And I won't go into it. But there was something that came to me today. And I was wondering how I was going to deal with it. If it came up. And the thought came to me. Man, I wish my dad was still here. Because I'd call him. I'd call him and say, this is what I'm looking at. I don't know what to do. Then I kept thinking about it, and I thought, well, who did my dad used to call? I don't remember my dad calling anybody. But I remember my dad praying a lot. And I thought, that's what I need to do, is pray about it. Ask God to guide me, to know what to do. But, you know, I wish I had my daddy still here. Michael asked me this morning, he said, Papa, who's your daddy? And them kids, Michael and them all called him Papa Jim. I said, Papa Jim was my daddy. He goes, yeah, your daddy's dead. I said, yeah. And I got to thinking, boy, I wish he was here. There'll come a time in your life, maybe your young life, you might be thinking, man, oh, mom and dad don't know what they're talking about, they're old fogies. Mom and dad know a lot of what they're talking about because they've been down them roads. You need to listen. I don't know where this thing has seemed to get in where it's us against them. I don't know where that seemed to get in, but somehow it's got in. But it ain't you against your parents. Your parents are for you. They want the best for you. And sure, they make mistakes. But the thing is, they can help you, stop you from making some mistakes on your own. because they can tell you about some of the mistakes they made and say, you know, well, what they've seen happen. You know, I read a quote to you here not long ago, said, where Brother Branham says, under no circumstances should a believer ever marry an unbeliever. And there was a person that I know of years ago. This was years ago. I was just a young man. Me and Mina just hadn't been married very long. We didn't have any children yet. And this young lady went to church. She got pregnant. And some of her family was telling her, well, he's got a good job. You need to marry him. He'll make a good husband because he works a good job, makes good money. He goes to work faithful, he'll make a good husband. And there was one individual in the family which the whole family thought wasn't very spiritual. His whole family looked down at him like, well, he was the least spiritual one of all of them. But you know what he said? He said, don't do it. He said, I've saw him. And I know, he said, what lays there.
Yeah, there you go.
And he says, don't do it.
Yeah, don't do that.
But you know what she did?
She
did him anyway.
Yes.
And after about three times of him almost beating her half to death, I'm talking literally, her going into hospital stuff. Finally, she divorced him. But by then, she had two kids by him. Now, what kind of family is that? She listened to the wrong thing. And she married an unbeliever. I'll say, my fellow, he's not abusive. Who knows, maybe not. But if he's not a believer, it ain't going to go good. If she ain't a believer, it ain't going to go good. What Satan wants to do is get you in a situation where you end up in a divorce and living alone the rest of your life. One thing that moms and dads of this message really try their best to guide their children away from such. Nobody wants their children to end up that way. When you see the revealed will of God, then you need to follow it. Don't go the way of Cain. Don't think God just accepted your way. He won't. He wouldn't accept Cain unless Cain came the right way. And he refused to do it. Amen. Let's stand. But Abel, by the will of God, according to the will of God, offered a more excellent sacrifice. Why? Because it was according to the will of God. Amen. So by the will of God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your word tonight. Thankful, Lord, for all that you, Lord, have done for us here and in this church, and how you constantly, Lord, are guiding us and show us, Lord, time after time that you care about us. Lord, I ask your blessings on the people tonight. I ask for those, Lord, that for some reason or other weren't able to make it tonight. Lord, you know why. Lord, if they, you know what they need in their life. You know what need they might have. Maybe it's sickness, or maybe it's something else, Lord, but whatever it is, God, that they'd be able to be here, you know what it is. And I pray, Lord, that you'll move in that area and on their behalf. I pray for those here tonight, God, you'll bless them and bless this word to them, God. I pray, dear God, you'll watch over them and keep them, Lord, as they go their separate ways. And Lord, many have work tomorrow. I pray you'll be with them, dear God, and keep them. Watch over them and bring us back here, Lord, to appointed time on Sunday, that we can hear your word again. Yes. We ask this all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.